Yeah, we've been working closely with the Haringey Club, and fair play and credit both to Kenny Marsh and Jerry Wilmot. It was their baby in its infancy. But the Haringey Box Cup for London has become the envy of the rest of Europe, really, in terms of the number of bouts, the number of clubs, the number of countries who are actually attending. It's a credit to the capital. It really, really is, building on London 2012.
How much money have you actually raised to plough into this?
Into this tournament alone, I think if you look at television input from London Live TV, you guys being here, all of the ancillary stuff, all of the sponsorship from William Hill, this event's probably cost somewhere in the region about £300,000 to put together. And that's without the income and the secondary income that the clubs are spending and putting back into the local economy. So you can multiply that by two again. So this is £1 million event over 3 days. Absolutely phenomenal.
What about the money you raised for all the London clubs as well to keep them going?
Yeah, we've had an exceptional time a bit of late, you know, thanks to Sport England and other agencies. We brought in probably in the region of about £4.2 million, and that's been directly through and with resource and capital projects through local authorities from the 33 boroughs across London. So the clubs are really flourishing at the moment, and people are seeing that now in the levels of participation, and boxing is really kicking the trend in terms of active participation in sport, and particularly those younger age groups in the capital.
That's something they've been speaking about on the sports show the last couple of weeks, about the participation numbers, how they've dipped in a lot of sports, but not in London in boxing, and that is a great thing. Are the government taking notice? Are they ploughing more money into it? Because this can prove a massive reward in terms of, if someone's going into, you know, the prison situation, then they're taking up a hell of a lot of money.
The investment, and the seed, I call it seed corn investment, because the investment we get from governments is either directly or indirectly, and clubs can apply individually, or the region applies to put different programmes together. And we've been carrying out a host of different intervention work, from gloves, not guns, gangs or knives. We've got bids in at the moment into the Evening Standard and other people in terms of the dispossessed fund. So it's those ancillary activities. And you're right, Andy, you know, one kid staying out of a detention centre is an £80,000 saving to the taxpayer. If you multiply that by, you know, the work that the clubs do on a voluntary basis, the clubs are probably putting in between 12 and about £13 million a year in terms of voluntary time. So you can see that these people are state-based. They have a terrific following because basically where they come, West Ham, Repton, Fitzroy Lodge, you know, the names from London really roll off the tongue. Very, very easy. And there is a plethora of clubs, you know, really, really doing the business in this place.
And hopefully we'll find some more champs for the future. There's already quite a few that I've been shown by a couple of the guys around here that have got a really, really bright future ahead of them.
We've certainly been seeing some wonderful talent here, and this is a platform for most of them then to get into the England team and onto the GB project in the long-term future. But this all starts, this sport, with all of the great champions, even the current ones, including James DeGale as a world champion, George Groves, all come out of one club, come out of Dale Youth, and it's those amateur boxing clubs that produce these world champions of the future, and it's the seeds of these volunteers putting together and ensuring that those gyms are open on a wet Monday night when nobody wants to go out, nobody wants to walk out in Brixton, nobody wants to get out in Haringey, but hey, these doors are open, the lights on, and the guys are in there doing the business with them, coaching and mentoring them for life-changing opportunities.
What's nice is when you see a world champ going back to those amateur gyms and you know, showing their medals off and their belts off, more to the point. Paul, great talking to you. Well done today with putting this on. It's been an amazing day, and good luck.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks very much.
There you go, Phil.
Yeah, Andy, I mean, this is what we have to remember as well, that volunteers, people who give time, effort, energy, you know, not just the sponsors, but people actually who facilitate events such as this, because it just doesn't happen, does it? This takes a lot of work, planning, involvement, from people who are actually passionate about their sport and passionate about giving other people opportunities to partake in their sport.
I can't believe the scale of it, to be quite honest, Phil. It's absolutely remarkable. As we mentioned earlier, it's the biggest single boxing event. It's actually, in terms of numbers, bigger than the Olympics or the European Championships boxing events. And so many people coming through will look back on this in the same way as we talk about the London Youth Games, where we see someone like Zoe Smith coming through in the weightlifting. They'll look back on this and say, this is where it all started for me. Chris Eubank Jr., his last amateur fight, was winning this event. You've got boxers who look back on it really fondly, and when they go into the pro ranks, they actually remember what it was to come through this and how many people gave their time for free to actually give them a start in the sport.